Support for WERU comes from Hypermedia Design, offering web design and hosting services since 1994. On the web at hypermediadesign.com.
It's just after 10 o'clock and you are tuned to WERU-FM 89.9 Blue Hill, 102.9 Bangor, and streaming online at WERU.org. A WERU Elections Call-In hosted by Jill Goldthwait is next.
Good morning. This is Jill Goldthwait with another hour of live WERU radio call-in for the upcoming November 7th election. The theme music you just heard in the background was composed by Amelia Gillette of the Youth Radio program. The election, as you know, is coming up very quickly, and we are making an opportunity available to all candidates, particularly those in the WERU listening area of Knox, Waldo, Hancock, Washington, and Penobscot counties, to call in. We'll give candidates 5 minutes, up to 5 minutes, to speak, and supporters or opponents of those candidates up to 2 minutes. We have a number of calls on the line already, and so we're going to go right to the phones. Hello. We got a caller?
Hi, how are you, Jill? This
yes.
is Ken Fredette.
Hello, Ken. How are you this morning?
Well, I'm tired. We've been out hitting the trails pretty hard and whatnot. Looking forward to the that coming November 7th. And I'm tired, but having fun.
Good. Why don't you tell us what seat you're running for and what area that covers?
I am running for Senate District Seat 28, which basically covers most of Hancock County, including Isla Hull. Does not include Bucksport and towns up near the Bangor area, but for the most part, it's Hancock County.
Uh-huh. And you've got a few minutes to say whatever you'd like to about your candidacy.
Well, I would just, first of all, like to just say thank you to the people of Hancock County. It is certainly a privilege to have the opportunity to travel throughout what is probably one of the most beautiful districts in the entire country. You go anywhere from Winter Harbor up to Ellsworth, down to Bar Harbor, Deer Isle, Stonington, and it's an amazing place. The people are as independent as the rugged coast is, and it's just a terrific place to see. There are different issues out there that people talk about. I was doing a walk along Main Street with Olympia Snow the other day, and certainly at the national level there seems to be some concern, a lot of concern, quite frankly, about the war in Iraq. And locally, they're more concerned about issues about taxes in the state of Maine, the status of the economy, where we're headed as a state. And quite frankly, people are engaged in that. Seems to be a lot of debate around it, and certainly Tabor is going to be an interesting issue as it's debated the last weeks of the campaign and how that will shape Maine for the upcoming years, if it's passed or if it's not passed. It certainly is a reflection that people in Maine certainly are trying to send the message that there's a tax burden out there, people are tired of that tax burden, and it needs to be addressed. And I think all of those things make for a very exciting campaign season. My opponent, Senator Damon, has run a good campaign, done a job down in Augusta, and I look forward to, we actually have a debate on Monday. Let's see, that'll be at 8 o'clock at the Ellsworth City Hall. We'll be having an opportunity to debate some of the issues, and I look forward to that. And running until November 7th and finishing up with a good, clean, positive campaign talking about the issues.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned Tabor. What's your position on that?
Well, you know, I sort of have a little bit of a mixed position on Tabor, because my position is that it certainly, I think, is warranted at the state level. I do believe that we have a spending problem in Augusta. I don't believe we have a revenue problem, because we have historically rising revenues at the state level. The problem is that we're not as good at the expenditure side, where we're expending, in some instances, beyond our revenue capacity. At the local level, I don't believe we have that need to that extent for those kind of limits. And certainly the two-thirds majority part has some concerns for me. I've talked to some town managers about that. They're very concerned about that, as are some of the school districts. And, you know, the Hancock County commissioners just proposed a budget with only a 1.8% increase. So I don't believe that it's a problem locally. I think we have a problem in Augusta. This is just a statute that is being proposed I think regardless of what happens on Election Day, I think if it passes, it is going to get addressed in the legislature. I believe that it's going to get fine-tuned. Chandler Woodcock, who is the Republican candidate for governor, certainly is a big supporter of this. But even he has acknowledged that the proposed statute needs to be tweaked in some ways to make it more workable.
Great. Well, your 5 minutes are just about up. Thanks so much for calling in, Ken. Wishing you the best of luck on the 7th.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next caller, please. Hello?
Hello.
Yes. Who do we have here?
Jean Haybright. Is this Jill?
Hello, Jean. Yes, it is. How are you today?
Good to hear from you again.
Thanks.
Great.
Why don't you tell us what office you're running for and why you're doing that?
Okay. I am running for the United States Senate. I'm the Democratic nominee, and I'm running against Olympia Snowe. It's been an interesting year and a half that I've been on the campaign trail, and people are really energized just recently, and it gives me great hope for the future of this country. My top three issues are getting out of Iraq. I was against it before the vote and ever since. And the second issue is national single-payer health care. It's long past time that we had it. Everybody wants it, but we need to get people down in Washington who see that as a national goal, national single-payer health care, not national insurance. That we need to take the profit out of health care. The third top issue has been the my proposal to set a national goal of energy self-sufficiency through renewable resources, such as solar, wind, tidal, hydro, geothermal, and fuels like biodiesel and ethanol and other fuels that we can extract from annual crops and trees. And Maine is in a very good position to do that. There was a study that recently that a few well-placed windmills will actually supply all the energy needs for the entire state of Maine. And, of course, with being a coastal state and the quaddy tides being as high as they are, that is another really exciting possibility to harness that renewable energy. It would not only clean up the air, but it would create a whole economic engine, creating this whole brand new infrastructure of, you know, inventing these things, manufacturing them, selling them, installing them, maintaining them, for the benefit of the country. And it would also really change foreign policy if we didn't need to so-called steal resources from other countries, invade other countries to steal their resources to keep our economy going. There is a fourth issue that has recently risen in critical prominence, and that is the trashing of the Constitution with the passage just last month of the Military Tribunal Bill or Military Commission Act, I've heard it called both, where we now have, you know, we're debating torture on the floor of the U.S. Senate, you know, my God, and we now have a bill that allows the President of the United States to determine what constitutes torture short of murder and rape, and we're talking George W. Bush here with Abu Ghraib in the background, and also denying habeas corpus rights to the detainees that the president or his agents so determined and label as an enemy combatant or a detainee that they can pick up anybody off the street anywhere in the world and throw them into secret prisons and not have access to lawyers and habeas corpus rights in our courts. They may have access to a military tribunal, but that's the same group that picked them up off the street. It's very scary what is happening with Olympia Snowe's support and with the Republicans in Congress, the trashing of the Constitution. We have now, people have been telling me that they are now more afraid of their government, our own government, than they are of any terrorist because of these provisions that have just come through. It's really scary times that we are looking at. So I've been telling people, vet the candidates, look at the record, look at Olympia Snowe's voting record. She's, you know, voted for the Iraq War and every funding bill since. She voted for the bankruptcy bill. She voted for Judge Samuel Alito, who has an action plan to dismantle Roe v. Wade. Those kinds of things and look at my record. My campaign page is www.jeanhaybright.us. Compare us and then vote for the America you want to live in.
Thanks, Jean. Your time is almost up, but we don't have another caller on the line, so I've got a question for you.
Sure.
I know that there have been some articles lately about how difficult it is to unseat an incumbent, and one of the reasons for that is because incumbents have the ability to garner a huge amount of information on all the issues quite readily. How do you go about educating yourself on those issues when you haven't been in the office before?
Well, as I've been a political columnist off and on for, you know, a decade or more. So my focus has for a long time been on national issues and how we get from here to there and how we set goals. And the internet has been absolutely marvelous. You know, I have, you know, subscriptions to magazines such as The Progressive and The Nation and a few of those. And I did get an honorable mention in The Nation just the other day as a fighting for holding Snow's feet to the fire. The internet is different from when I ran 10 and 12 years ago in the primaries for U.S. Senate and for Congress, because it has developed to the point where I get really good information from people who send it to me. And, have you seen this? You need to know this? And it's proven to be very, very invaluable. And of course, there are internet sites that have the text of all these bills, and it's a process, and
yes.
And I have to focus on it, but it works.
Sounds like it takes a lot of time as well.
It does.
Thank you so much for calling in this morning. Good luck on the 7th.
Thank you very much.
Take
care. Bye.
We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Thank you. Your question to Jean Hay Bright, I thought was a good one in terms of how does she get her information.
Sure. Can you identify yourself, please?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, Mariah from Liberty.
Okay. And are you a candidate, Mariah?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Good. So you've got 2 minutes to talk about the election.
Thank you. I have discovered that a lot of people in office really don't have very good information either.
Uh-huh.
Or I shouldn't even say either. I mean, I don't think that the access to information, official information, is necessarily a really important determinant of capability. I think it has more to do with intellectual curiosity and one's willingness to be open to alternative views. And, for example, Mike Michaud has been open to alternative views and has really shifted his point of view on the Iraq War, whereas Tom Allen has not. And that, to me, says a lot. You know, and I would say that's true of Lumpia Snow. She's not willing to meet with constituents except when she walks around during campaign time. The rest of the time, she has completely refused to meet with people to discuss about the Iraq War, and in fact has had people arrested in her offices. So that's upsetting. And there was one more point which I was going to make, and Tabor. I think people are absolutely fed up with taxes, and understandably. Yet we're blaming the wrong people. The reason our taxes are so high, even state and local taxes, isn't because people here are wasting our money. It's that people in Washington are wasting our money on the military and this insane war. And if we were to take the money we have spent in Iraq over the past few years, can you imagine what we could have done in this state and in these communities? It has nothing to do with local and state funding. It has to do with federal government stealing our money and stealing it from the states, not being able to redistribute it equitably among the states in this country. Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling in this morning.
I'm sorry. I'm really passionate.
That's quite all right. That's a good thing.
Okay, bye.
Our next caller, please. Good morning. Hello?
Sorry, this is Dick in Southwest Harbor.
Hello, Dick. Are you a candidate for office?
No, thank goodness.
What would you like to say about the election?
Well, I am on the committee to elect Steve Savage for District 38, Ellsworth, Otis, and Trenton.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly would like to put in a word on Steve, who has been going door-to-door now for months, and everywhere he goes and talks to people, if they're Republicans, they say, well, you've got my vote. And I'm hoping that a lot of people who may not have met him will consider him as a possibility, because he's a very, very careful thinking person. He cares a lot about the people that he's run into and done a number of things during the campaign to try and help them out, and would do a lot when he finally gets to Augusta also, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So please consider him. His opponent hasn't really done too much for the people in District 38.
Well, thank you so much for calling.
Well, could I do a couple of other things?
Yes, you've got a little more time.
In Ellsworth, the city council election affects everybody in Down East Maine. This is not a local election in a sense, because the issues of development and careful planning are going to be huge in the immediate future. And right now the city council is a group of people who is not thinking ahead in general to what's down the road and trying to create the infrastructure environment that will support whatever development happens. There are two candidates, Pam Perkins and Helena Paterson. They're the only two, Peterson, excuse me, the only two people on the ballot who are women, and they're the only two people on the ballot who are worth voting for if people in Ellsworth care about what happens in this whole area. And anybody who would like to contribute to their campaign at this late date to try and get some information out could drop a contribution off at the Democratic headquarters in Ellsworth, down right along the river. And thirdly, Tabor. I was the con speaker on Tabor at the Southwest Harbor Library on Monday. I've done a lot of research on it over the last 2 months. And I agree with the person who just called that the issue really is about the spending of money elsewhere, not about taxes in Maine. The war has used up about $1 billion in money that would otherwise be available to Maine. And there's nothing you can do to taxes in Maine that would raise $1 billion. The state can completely ignore this bill. Constitutionally, they can pass it and then completely ignore it, but the communities can't. And Mr. Fredette called in. He said he thinks that the legislature will fine-tune this bill. The legislature, as I think you know, characteristically does not want to touch bills that are passed by the people, so to speak, so that it will be very difficult to have something done about this. And if people decide to vote on it just to send a message to the legislature that they got to do something about taxes, they might find themselves saddled with something which actually prevents any future tax reform.
Well, thanks so much for calling in, Dick. I appreciate your comments. I heard that you did a great job at that presentation the other night, and thanks for putting your time into that. And that gives me an opportunity to tell you that tomorrow on the Talk of the Town show with Ron Beard, he will be doing an entire program on Tabor from 10 to 11 in the morning. And another opportunity to hear about some election candidates will be on Saturday from 3 to 4 on the Weekend Voices program. They'll be interviewing some of the U.S. Senate candidates and providing information on others. And so there are two more chances there to educate yourself prior to voting day. You're listening to WERU Radio at 89.9 FM Blue Hill and 102.9 FM in Bangor. This is Jill Goldthwait. We're hosting a live election call-in for candidates and their supporters or opponents today. And the number to call in is 1-866-625-9378. That's 1-866-625-9378. I'd like to give you a little information on how to register to vote if you haven't already done that, because in Maine you can register up to and including Election Day. You need to register in person now. Within 3 weeks of an election, you can no longer register by mail. So you pick up a voter registration card at your town office is the primary and probably easiest place for people. At the Department of Motor Vehicles office, most social service agencies, or during a voter registration drive, and those are fairly frequent the closer we get to Election Day. You fill out a simple card and take it into your town office, and you're registered to vote. Be sure to do that. You can also vote absentee. And you no longer need a reason, such as you're going to be out of town. Anyone can get an absentee ballot. You go into your town office again, fill out that ballot, and you have voted and don't need to leave work or find childcare or whatever on Election Day. You can do so at your convenience absentee. We have another call on the line now. Go ahead, caller.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Dennis Damon.
Good morning, Dennis.
Good morning. Thank you for offering this opportunity for candidates and their supporters or opponents. I think it's a necessary thing that the people hear about what we have to do and what we plan to do, and so I'm glad to take this opportunity.
Good. Tell us what seat you're running for and what area that covers.
Thank you. I am running for re-election to Senate District 20, to seat from Senate District 28, which is an area that I refer to as the Coastal Crescent of Hancock County. It extends from the Winter Harbor Peninsula all along the coastal communities of southern Hancock County to the Deer Isle-Stonington area, and then including the offshore islands as well as the island of Isle of Ho in Knox County. It's an area that I was born in. It's an area that I have grown up in. It's an area that I've lived all my life in, and it's an area that I'm extremely proud to represent in the Senate.
And tell us what you would do if you were reelected to office.
I would do what I have been doing for 4 years now, which is keeping the interests of Senate District 28 in my heart and looking at the interests of the state of Maine in my head in all of the decisions that I make. You know as well as anyone who calls in the immense, not just difficulty, but the difficulty, perhaps, with working in the legislature. There are issues that are presented before us that have at a minimum of two sides, and I've often referred to them as being multifaceted in that they have a number of sides. And we need to, all legislators, need to get all of the information that they can about an issue, and based on that information and their core beliefs and what they think will be best for the state and their district at the same time, balance all of that out before they press their red button or their green button, which indicates their support or non-support for that particular issue. So that's what is before us. That's what I have tried to do for 4 years, and that's what I would continue to want to do for the people of my district. I have been successful in the past, in most recently, in getting some fairly historic legislation moved forward dealing with the preservation of our working waterfront, an area that's near and dear to me and to the marine aspects of our coast. But beyond that, I look at our economy as perhaps being the single biggest issue facing us. And economic development, I think, deals with a number of issues, and it has to have a real basis, a foundation. And so I look at our education system as being vital to our future economy. I look at as our research and development infrastructure as being vital to our continued economy. I look at our transportation system as obviously being vital to that economy, and I expand the traditional thoughts of transportation, meaning roads and bridges and perhaps what people would more easily refer to with transportation. I expand it to include the transportation of ideas and of internet technologies, not just technologies, but data. We need to be able to compete on the world and global stage with transmitting and receiving data. That's not something that we have we've had to consider in the past, and it's something that we need to consider now. And I also think that what part of that building block, that foundation, is energy. We have had, and I've heard it referred to earlier today, the discussion about alternative energy, renewable energy. I think that wind, which we're working on in the Mars Hill area and in western Maine, is important for that electric generation. But I also think the tides are very important. I sat in recently on a presentation about some tidal generation in the Eastport area. But more exciting than that, even, and in terms of its possibilities, right in our own county of Hancock, the second best area for tidal energy generation is near Maine Maritime Academy at the Bagadoos River, and as it enters into the Penobscot River. And to have a course of tidal energy be able to be incorporated into the curriculum at Maine Maritime Academy, to me, is extremely exciting, so that we can not only generate energy from that source, but generate educated people and generate the economy of building those kinds of things. And finally, it is environmentally helpful, and it's going to provide the basis for our movement in our economy. One thing that I keep hearing, and I heard it earlier today on your program.
I'm going to ask you to wind up your comments, Senator. Your time is up.
I shall.
All right.
Thank you. Is our spending problem. We have caps on spending at every level of government. These caps were instituted under LD1. Tabor now is being touted as capping spending. We already have done that. And I suggest to you and to your listeners that Tabor is not the way for us to move.
Thank you so much for calling in. Good luck to you on the 7th.
Thank you. You're welcome.
We do have another caller on the line. Go ahead, please.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hi. I'm Susan. I'm calling from Unity. And I had a comment about Pat LaMarche.
Uh-huh.
I'm an inveterate channel surfer on TV in the morning looking for a weather report. And I caught her on the show with the two guys who are on the radio, but Channel 7 broadcasts them.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that Pat LaMarche said is that if she's elected governor, she would appoint Peter Chinquette to the head of the Office of Economic Development. I'm not sure how someone who would probably like to pave over the entire state of Maine fits in with Green Party platform planks, but if there's anybody out there from the Green Party or if Pat LaMarsh is listening, I'd love to hear an answer to that question.
Oh, thanks for that question, Susan. It's an interesting and thought-provoking one, and I would suggest that almost all of the candidates have websites, and you might be able to submit a question to candidate LaMarsh or any other candidate through their website and get an answer to that. But thanks for that challenge, and I hope someone calls in with information on that. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
No.
Okay. Thanks so much for your call.
You're
listening to WERU Radio at 89.9 FM Blue Hill, 102.9 FM in Bangor, and you're listening to a live election call-in. I'm Jill Goldthwait, your host this morning from 10 to 11. And the call-in number for candidates or others who wish to comment on election candidates or issues is 1-866-625-9378. That's 1-866-625-9378. I would just like to give you a thumbnail of the qualifications for voting. And you must be a citizen of the United States, obviously. You must have established and maintain a residence in the municipality where you are going to be voting. You must be 17 years old to register and 18 years old to vote. So if your birthday is on the 6th, you're turning 18 on November 6th, you should register now because you will be able to cast a ballot on November 7th. The other great source of information for you is the Internet, as some of our candidates mentioned. And if you go to maine.gov and then to the Secretary of State's website, you will find tons of information on the election. There are lists of candidates. There are polling places. How you register to vote is summarized there, an actual copy of the voting card so you can look at what information will be required of you. You can do an online change of address, and you can make an online absentee ballot request, but you do need to get those absentee ballots into your town clerk before 8 p.m. on voting day, not postmarked by then, but actually physically in the hands of your clerk by 8 o'clock on voting day. There is another opportunity, as one of the candidates mentioned, on Monday evening at the Ellsworth City Hall. I believe, as I saw it in the paper, at 7 o'clock there will be some conversation with House candidates in that area, and at 8 o'clock with state Senate candidates. So if you're interested in election issues, that's yet another opportunity to meet the candidates. We do have another caller on the line. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Jill. It's Steve Savage from District 38.
Good morning, Steve.
Ellsworth, Trenton, and Otis.
Uh-huh.
You and I have changed seats. How do you enjoy your new role?
I think I like my seat better now, thank you.
Well, yeah, I think I kind of liked it, too. But
yeah.
I haven't done what you've done. I haven't even got elected yet.
Well, tell us how that's going and what area your district covers.
Well, I'm in Ellsworth, Trenton, and Otis, and I started knocking on doors back in May. And I tell you, it's a good way to take the pulse of the area.
It is indeed. And what have you learned?
Well, I've seen some amazing places right in Ellsworth, right close. You know, it's really a diverse community, this area. And there are some incredible people. I've met some retirees living off the grid who have been doing this since the 70s. So there's some real resourceful people here in this area. And I think, in a way, they kind of serve as a model for the rest of us that need to rediscover some of our main roots and that self-reliance that made us what we, you know, what we have been traditionally. And, you know, when I think about my education and my generation, you know, the key to success is always study hard, go to school, and land a good job. And we're going to have to create some of these innovative clusters here, as Brookings Institute called them. You know, find these little core areas that we can make grow, and that's kind of happening now with the in Trenton. We've got this new Bar Harbor biotech firm. It's sort of a spinoff from Jackson Lab, and we need to look at places that we can invest. And
Steve, excuse me, do you have your radio on?
No, I don't.
Okay. We're getting a little feedback, but apparently it's not you. Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah. Well, just think about investing money, money that we can bring back, you know, money into the state, because right now we're transitioning, the state's transitioning from manufacturing and natural resources base. Right now we're about the average of the rest of the country in terms of natural resource production, which is a is surprising to me. So we're in a real transitory, transformational period. If we can, you know, direct our state and our economy the way we want to, I think we'll really come out ahead. And a lot of that is maintaining the you know, the character of the state. We can bring people in here to work, and also to increase our indigenous you know, level of education. But one other thing I'd just like to say is that also knocking on doors, I've noticed that there are a lot of folks living back in trailers and don't have many people to rely on. Families are all over the country, and so I've kind of been working with this Faith in Action group in Ellsworth, which I find is really good. It's a volunteer group, and if I could put a plug in for them.
Sure.
They help people out, you know, from shoveling them out to helping getting chores done, or just driving to medical appointments or that kind of thing. And it's Faith in Action, and I found that they are, you know, substitute a lot for some of these state agencies. They have a good grant and great director, Joe Cooper. So I just urge people to get involved. You know, there's poor people, there are forgotten people, and we can certainly take care of the forgotten people in our own neighborhood.
We don't have to do it all with tax dollars.
That's right, yeah. And okay. I think that's key. You know, it used to be family, helping family, and now, like I said, families are spread all over. So there are a lot of people just, you know, without close ties, a lot of elderly people in this area that don't need much. They just need sometimes a phone call.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks so much for calling in, and good luck to you on the 7th.
Okay, Jill, thanks.
Sure. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, please. Good morning.
I'm Steve Jeskowich, the independent candidate for district attorney.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Jill. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Good. I just want to say that the reason I'm running for district attorney is because I think we should do less plea bargaining, have more appropriate sentencing, and get greater attention to and better prosecution of sex offenses and domestic crimes involving children. And obviously, the drug problem that's rampant in Hancock and Washington County, I think, needs a very different approach. We need to deal with the drug dealers and not just the drug addicts. As you know, the district runs from Danforth to Verona, and I'm currently sitting in the parking lot up here in Harrington on my way to Machias. It's a huge problem. It needs leadership at the top, and I have that leadership and management experience.
Well, thank you for calling in. Do you have anything else you'd like to say, Steve? It's not often we get a call from a district attorney candidate.
Well, it's not often that we've had a district attorney candidate, as you know, in the past 30 years. But the most important thing for people to realize, I just urge them to go out and get the information and vote for and support the candidate that they believe will best serve their interests and the interests of the general public. And thank you for the opportunity to speak to the public in this fashion.
Thank you so much for calling in, and good luck to you on the 7th. We do have another call on the line. Go ahead, please. Good morning. Hello?
Hello?
We lost our... Yes, good morning.
Hi. Is this on the air?
Yes.
Okay, this is Martha, and I'm calling in support of Steve Savage's campaign.
Okay, go ahead, Martha.
I'm having a little ear trouble right now, so I can't hear you very well.
Okay.
But can you hear me?
We can hear you loud and clear, and I'll tell you when your 2 minutes are up.
Thank you. Well, I've lived in this area for about 13 years, and I've been a college teacher, and I live in Ellsworth now for the last 6 years. And I think my current representative, I've been watching his what he does in Augusta, and he votes opposite of what I would want to vote almost every time on issues, very important issues of the environment, education, jobs, development issues. So I think Steve Savage really offers us an opportunity for changing that, because as we are developing as a state, a region, a nation, we really need to develop economically while we preserve the environment, while we improve education so people can get the more skilled jobs that they need in this emerging economy. So I just hope everybody will learn about Steve Savage and what he stands for and come out and vote for him. Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time to call in. We do have another caller. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Fred in St. George.
Yep.
I'm turning my radio down.
Thank you, Fred.
And I'd like to put in a plug for Pat LaMarche. I've met her. I think she's a very great candidate, intelligent, and got a real plan for what to do. I hope the this comment about Chinchet is clarified, because that caught my attention. And thanks for doing this program.
Well, thank you so much for calling in.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. One of the candidates mentioned a Brookings Institute study, and I want to let you know that that came out of a group called GrowSmart, who hired the Brookings Institute to do an economic assessment, if you will, of the state of Maine. And if you go to GrowSmart on the Internet, I think you will be able to see at least the executive summary and perhaps by now the full report of that. It talks about a number of ways that Maine might rethink its economic plan, and it also emphasizes the fact where many reports either emphasize business or the environment, this describes Maine as having a unique niche in its environment and sense of place, and that it is really a keystone to our economic development, and so that both of those features are very important to Maine's future. I want to remind you that you're listening to WERU Community Radio at 89.9 FM Blue Hill and 102.9 FM Bangor, a live election call-in. I'm your host, Jill Goldthwaite, and the number to call is 1-866-625-9378. That's 1-866-625-9378. You have a couple of opportunities to learn more about the upcoming election. One is tomorrow when Ron Beard is hosting Talk of the Towns on WERU Radio from 10 to 11 in the morning. And his show will be entirely devoted to Tabor, which is a citizens' initiative that will appear on the ballot along with the candidate elections. And also on Weekend Voices from 3 to 4 p.m. on Saturday, there will be some interviews with U.S. Senate candidates and information about some of those candidates. And Monday night in Ellsworth at 7, House candidates will be appearing for some discussion. And at 8 p.m. on Monday, the state Senate candidates will be present. Running for election is not an easy thing to do. Trust me on that one. It is a real challenge to put yourself out in front of the public in that way. And I compliment the candidates, every one of them, for taking the time and effort to run and being willing to expose themselves personally to a broad audience who then is able to sit back in the comfort of their kitchens and take pot shots at those folks. So it's great that all those candidates are out there running, and we're very happy to hear from them. We're going to go to a brief segment from a previous call-in with some information on other candidates, and we'll come back to the live segment as soon as we get another phone call. The phone call-in number is 1-866-625-9378, 1-866-625-9378. Election day. And one new regulation this year is if it's within 21 days of the election, you can only register to vote in person in your municipality. You can't do the mail-in registration. But before that time, you can go online and get a voter registration card information and register by mail. I think we have some calls on the line now. Go ahead, caller. Hello.
Yes, this is Jean Haybride.
Yes, hello, Jean. Good morning.
Good morning.
Tell us the office you're running for and where you live.
I am running for United States Senate with a seat now held by Olympia Snow. I'm a Democrat. I live in Dixmont on my beautiful organic farm,
mm-hmm.
where we raise raspberries and high-bush blueberries.
Uh-huh. And tell us a little about why you decided to run for office.
Because I want my...
We've faded out of Jean Haybright's call from our last call-in program, and you did hear from her again this morning because we do have a live caller on the line now. Go ahead, please, caller. Hello? Is our caller still there?
Yes.
Yes, good morning.
Jill, I'm sorry, this is Dick Atlee again. I just wanted to let you know and let your listeners know that tonight, since I haven't heard it mentioned, tonight at 7 o'clock at the Ellsworth City Hall, there is a Tabor debate with Tom Zimmerman from the Portland Taxpayers Association and Nancy Kelleher, the State Director for Advocacy for AARP in Maine. This is sponsored by the Ellsworth Business and Professional Women and the Hancock County American Association of University Women.
That's important to know. Thank you so much for calling back to let us know that. That's 7 p.m. tonight at the Ellsworth City Hall.
Great.
Tabor debate. Thanks so much, Dick.
Bye.
We have another caller on the line. No, I'm sorry. We do not have another caller on the line. Let's go back to our tape segment. But the phone number, before I do, for live comments from candidates or their supporters or opponents, is 1-866-625-9378. 1-866-625-9378. I think we might have a call coming in now. You'll bear with me. We do have a caller. Yes? Hello?
Hi. Good morning. My name is Brooke. I'm calling from Ellsworth.
Thank you for saving me from silence, Brooke.
No problem. I just had a general comment. I'm voting absentee because I'm going to be out of the state on Election Day.
Good for you.
And so
not
I already,
for being out of state, but for voting.
Right. And I already received my ballot in the mail. And when I looked at it, we've heard so much about question one, the Tabor question, but there are actually two referendum questions, and I knew nothing about number two. And it was confusing language. Even when I read it, I really didn't understand what it meant. So I had to look into it a little bit. And I would just encourage other people to do that because basically when the Tabor petition was filed, it brought to light the fact that there was a conflict between our state constitution and some state statutes that says how long people have to file a referendum. And so anyway, the language is confusing, and I would just encourage people to look into it a little bit online before they go to vote so that they know what they're voting for.
So you get the Citizen of the Year award today, Brooke, because you do raise something that no one is talking about. It is, I believe, to be a technical amendment that clarifies this timing issue about submitting petitions and would indeed
right.
be an improvement. I have yet to find an opponent to that issue. Perhaps when Ron does his Tabor show tomorrow, he can touch on that as well and clarify
yeah.
the exact intent. But thank you so much for raising that because you're absolutely right. Tabor is not the only thing on the referendum ballot.
Right. Yeah, I just could tell they were related, but I wasn't sure how, and so I wondered if other people would get tripped up as well. So,
well, thank you for doing that research, and thanks for calling to let us know about it.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Sure. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, please.
Yes, this is Damon. I'm calling from Penobscot.
Yes.
I just wanted to voice my support for Pat LaMarche, the Green Party candidate for governor, and there are two main reasons why I'm supporting Pat is because I feel like a lot of the other candidates in terms of health care are talking more about how to fix the private health care system, whereas Pat is talking about universal health care, which I think is really the direction that we need to go as a nation. And if we have to lead in that direction as a state, as we've done with other issues in the past, I think that's what we should do. And also for the support of tidal energy, I think that tidal energy is really one of the greatest resources that Maine has and also has the other win-win benefit of having apparently very little environmental impact, even aesthetically. And according to one study that I read, Maine has enough viable locations for tidal power plants to be a net exporter of power, which could be a great benefit to the Maine economy. And also, if we could be producing energy that cheaply, we could really attract some industry, especially if you look at some of the internet industries like the Googles, they are becoming large consumers of power because they have to have so much computational capacity, and they are moving to the Pacific Northwest where there's lots of cheap hydropower. So the potential for Maine to attract that industry to the area with tidal power, I think is huge. And so those are my comments. Thank you for having the call in.
Damon, I don't know if you can answer this question, but do you have reason to believe that tidal energy is lower cost than other energy sources?
Well, I've done some research on it, and I do believe that even with current technology, tidal energy is lower cost. And one of the main reasons is because, unlike wind power, tidal power is guaranteed. You don't have to wait for the wind to blow. Tidal power is guaranteed 24-hour-a-day energy output. The other benefit is that the new turbines, they rotate slowly, so fish can swim right through an operating tidal turbine without us having to worry about possibly killing the fish.
Without becoming chowder.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, these are very slow-moving, large turbines. And it also diversifies the power grid, because if we have many small power plants up and down the coast, we have less cost of transmission. We're generating power close to where the power is being used. So, I mean, I think that, and these plants would be primarily under the water, so that there's not as much of an issue of eminent domain, because the state already owns everything below the mean tide line. And then the actual distribution plants would be relatively small. And I think we're talking about multiple gigawatts of potential power capacity that Maine has. I mean, Maine has more potential tidal power sources on the coast than the rest of the East Coast of the United States combined, according to the study that I read.
Damon, so that was a great short course in tidal energy. Thank you so much for calling in. It always amazes me how much people know who are just sitting out there in the listening audience. And if we could pool all that knowledge, we really would have something here. Thank you so much
for
calling.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Sure. We do have another caller on the line. Go ahead, please.
Hi, this is Dan, and I'm calling from Searsmont.
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. I just wanted to talk about the election in general and how very, very important this particular one is, in my view. And you spoke earlier of the requirements in terms of age to vote.
Right.
So it occurred to me at that time that I'm going to find an 18-year-old and make sure they vote.
What a good idea.
And, or one of your friends who gave up on the system a few years back, bring them with you. Get them to vote.
Sort of an each one, drag one kind of a concept.
Exactly.
Perfect.
You know, reinvigorate them, because apathy is not going to get it done.
It's a really great idea, and I think for young people, some of them are champing at the bit to vote, but others, having not voted before, this is the critical time to influence whether they look at voting as an important issue for them for the rest of their lives. Got any other good ideas, Dan?
Well, I just think that if we can get it done, if more people can show up than they expect, and we can send a signal. This is all in the context of a report, you know, that said by the year 2050, the whole planet faces ecosystem collapse.
Mm-hmm.
So if your candidates, if your leaders are not talking about universal health care, universal human rights, peace, utter the word peace, and mean it. If your leaders aren't talking that way, then they're wrong. They're not paying attention. The facts are pretty clear.
Well, I really appreciate your calling in to offer a good and practical suggestion and your other thoughts on the upcoming election. Thanks so much, Dan.
Thanks.
We have just a few more minutes left in our election call-in. The number is 1-866-625-9378. 1-866-625-9378. Go ahead, caller.
We had a question for Steve Savage. What's his opinion as to what's the most effective way to energize Maine's economy?
All right. The candidates are not present in the studio, so if Mr. Savage cares to call in to answer that, we can try to get him on the air. Or I believe you can find contact information for him, if not through the phone book, then through the Democratic Party office. So that's the best I can do for you on an answer from Steve. Is there anything else you'd like to say about the election?
No, just everyone get out to vote.
Thank you so much. We are in the final moments of an hour-long election call-in on WERU Radio, 89.9 FM in Blue Hill, 102.9 FM in Bangor. And we have another call on the line. Go ahead, please.
That's me.
Hello, yes.
Oh, hello.
Good morning.
My name's Olenka, and I live in Brooklyn. Uh-huh. And I'm calling to urge people to support Jean Hay Bright. It's a real uphill struggle because she's running against a powerful, very popular incumbent. But I was one of the 19 arrested last December in front of her office because she would not answer our requests or speak to us through her manager and through a nonviolent civil disobedience. We were arrested, and 11 more were just recently. We're all members of the peace and justice community. And apart from her, what I consider appalling voting record for supporting this Iraq war all the way, the thing that bothers me even more is how remote she is from her constituents, that she doesn't want to get in a dialogue with them. She won't have a town meeting. And we, the citizens of Maine, are paying her salary. She is supposed to be representing us, and she won't even meet with those who want to meet with her and have a civil dialogue. So, and I know that Jean Hay Bright will be available to the citizens of Maine if she gets elected. I am absolutely convinced of that. So that's my comment.
Thank you, Olenka, for calling in. I appreciate your call. Next caller, please.
Hi, my name is Tom Finley. I'm a Democratic candidate for the state Senate in District 29, which includes all of Washington County. Parts of Penobscot and Hancock counties.
It's a big district.
Excuse me?
That's a big district.
It certainly is a big district. It's 1.5 times the size of Rhode Island. It's as big as Rhode Island and Delaware put together.
And what do you plan to do for that district, Tom?
Well, what I really plan, down East Maine has been left behind in many aspects because of failed policies in Augusta. And what I'd like to do is, And I propose a whole bunch of things, but in summary, I think all businesses in rural areas, particularly rural areas, require broad-based internet, reliable cell phone service, and roads. And if anyone has ever driven up from Ellsworth up to Machias or even up to Calais, that road is something you might expect to find in Central America, you know. And that has to be improved.
Well, thank you. Do you have anything else you'd like to say, Tom?
Oh, I would like to talk about, I've considered it very carefully, and I think that what we need in Washington County is a casino. I've always been sort of leery about proposing a casino, but I don't know if most of you realize that one of the most beautiful little museums in the United States is the Down East Heritage Center in Calais. And it's in bankruptcy now, mainly because it just couldn't get enough people to go there. And what I'd like to propose is next to that beautiful little museum to put a resort casino convention center that would encourage, and this would encourage people to come there, particularly with the building of a new bridge in Calais to Canada. And so we would have a destination for people to come to, and when they came there, they would be able to enjoy the rest of Down East Maine. Another big problem we have in Washington County and all along the coast here in Maine is the fact that every time it rains more than 2 or 3 inches, many of the municipal sewer systems just allow all the sewage to flow out into the ocean. In Machias Bay, for instance, 6 months out of the year, you can't clam there because the coliform bacteria count is so high. And so what we have to do is we have to invest in improving the municipal sewer system all up and down the coast. These are the sort of things I support. I also believe that a big mistake we made was discontinuing the Maine Central Railroad. I think that we have to rebuild the Maine Central Railroad that in the will enable goods and to travel back and forth, and also the railroad could transport people from Calais to elsewhere. And health care is a major problem for all of us. And the reason we have such expensive health care costs here is that we have so many older and poorer people. And I think we have to have a program, and I think Dirigo Choice is a solution. And the final thing I'd like to talk about is property tax reform. Obviously, property tax system needs to be restructured. However, I think Tabor is not the solution. Tabor is like attacking a fly with a sledgehammer on the top of a glass table. The glass table is in Main economy, and particularly down East Maine. We don't want to have Tabor. Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling in, and good luck to you on the 7th. We do have two more calls on the line. We have time for both, I think. Go ahead, caller.
All righty. I'd like to speak for two candidates, and the first is the governor. I'm from away, but we've lived here for nearly 30 years.
Where's here besides Maine, caller?
Here is Ellsworth.
Ellsworth, thanks.
And we are so grateful that we have a governor with the kind of experience and the kind of instincts that our Governor Baldacci has. And we are hoping, we're looking forward to election night. We're going to have a party, which will be a victory party for him, and another candidate that I'd like to mention, whose name is Steve Savage. He's a young man. To me, he's young, since I'm nearing 80. But he's got such a wonderful resume. He was an airline pilot for 12 years. He was in the service at I think he was a lieutenant commander in the Navy. He's got he's got a wonderful family with five kids that are going to their way to college. He's for capping local property taxes. He's for repairing Maine's roads. God knows we need that. And he's for increasing the minimum wage, and I don't think anybody can argue with that one. We just think he's a really great young man, and my husband and I are working very hard for him.
Well, thank you so much for your call. And we have giving the last word to our final caller this morning. Go ahead, please.
Hi, yes, thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to point out that there's also some really interesting things going on in down East Maine. And Senator Damon, who is a really fantastic senator and represents us very well, is leading the way in looking at alternative energy from things like tidal power, which we certainly have plenty of, as well as looking at getting a better internet infrastructure. And he led the way in getting funding for roads and bridges, including the new Penobscot Narrows Bridge and Observation Tower. And we have some excellent candidates up for the House, and hopefully we will defeat Tabor. And I just urge people to be informed and to research their candidates and to get out and vote.
Thank you so much for calling in this morning. You've been listening to WERU Community Radio, a live election call-in. I'm your host, Jill Goldthwaite. It's been a pleasure to spend the morning with you. And please check out the WERU website for information on upcoming election programs that will help you make the all-important decisions on how to vote on November 7th. Have a good morning.